He created everything, great and small, and his love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into his word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along his path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, family. How are you all feeling this morning? Yeah, I feel so amazing. I gotta tell you though, does anybody else feel a little tired? I don't know why this morning. I'm just like, I'm not really feeling it. But I'm so excited that I can still think of so many reasons to praise my God this morning. Amen. We're gonna cast off that spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise this morning, right? I'm just gonna ask everybody to stand up. Go ahead, we honor God in this house. Go ahead and stand right up. Ready? We're gonna wake up a little bit, okay? So I have the microphone, that means you have to do what I say. Hello. Okay, ready? I know some of you haven't done these since like high school, but just give me a little, some of these. Go ahead, arm circles. Here we go. We're just gonna warm up a little bit. We gotta shake this tiredness off backwards. Here we go. How about some toe touches? Here we go. Reach towards the sky. Turn around. There we go. Pat your head. Rub your belly. Do about the same. Chili, I can't do it. I actually can't do it. Now go find five people and just high five them. Say good morning. Hallelujah.
I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him.
you to start praising him. What does that mean? Just tell him about himself. Just tell him how awesome he is. Remind him of the victories that he's overcome in your life. We've got so many reasons to praise God this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for waking us up. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us purpose and breath in our body. Thank you, Jesus, for the victories that you've given us. Come on, say it out loud. You can talk to Jesus this morning. There's no one else like you, Jesus. There's no one else like you. There's no one else that could treat me like you treat me. Thank you, Father, for being good. No other God can be called a Father. No other God can be called a friend. No other God can be called Redeemer. No other God's coming back again. Come on, raise your hands, sing it out.
You're the beautiful one. We love
For the gift of your name, that at the name of Jesus, every demon in hell must flee. At the name of Jesus, every single spirit is subject to you. Jesus, I thank you for the inheritance of your name, God, that with your name, there's nothing that we can't conquer, that with your name, there's nothing that we can't conquer. There's nothing that we can't conquer with your name. Come on, give him some praise for his name this morning. Hallelujah.
Shout it out from the mountaintops.
Something maybe you've never done before, maybe you have. When we sing that song again, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Now, if you've done that before, then I want you to do that and step out of the aisle. What is this all about? If you always remain in the same place, you'll only ever get the same thing. To go to the next level means you got to do something different. And some of you have been a little comfortable, and that's all right. Comfort is nice for a little bit. It's okay. You got to rest. Amen. But some of you have been resting long enough. Now it's time for the boot. Amen. Turn to someone and say, you might need a boot. Amen. So I want you to do something you've never done before. This song here, I want you to surrender to Jesus. This is a powerful song, making Jesus the center of your life. We just had, for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there was a speaker here from Atlanta. And his whole message was on this. Is God on the throne or are you on the throne? And one day, I was praying in the man cave in the morning. And the Lord said, isn't it interesting that when we, during our time of prayer, you're always asking me to do things. Am I your servant or are you mine? Even your pastor gets to move. Amen. It's all about growing. And I don't know where you are, what you've done before. I don't know how far you've gone. But some of you have retracted and not gone to the next level. So when we sing this song one more time, I want you to do something you've never done before. Maybe you've raised your hands. Maybe you've come to the front. But maybe you've never knelt at the altar. I don't know. But until you go to the next level, you're still where you are. And it's time to move. Turn to someone and say, you got to move. Come on, you got to do something different. That's a fact. You keep doing the same thing, you're never going to go to the next level. Amen? Amen. So let's sing. Let's worship one more time.
Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart. Every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. In Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
worship you. Father, hear our hearts. We lay our lives down as a sacrifice holy and acceptable unto you, as living sacrifices. We say, God, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price in Jesus. We surrender, we surrender, we surrender. Whatever you want to do with us, Lord, we want to be a God-made man, not a man-made man. Lord, we want to please you with our life, please you with our heart. Lord, we want to be acceptable in your sight. We honor you this morning with surrender. Hallelujah. Oh, I sense the anointing flowing right now. God, touch your people, touch your people. Lord, draw those in, God, who are struggling in Jesus' name. Lord, those that are backslidden, restore them this morning. Put a hunger in their heart, Holy Spirit. Those that are lost this morning have never known you, Jesus. Draw them to salvation this morning. Lord, we declare even in your presence there's healing. God, we curse all sickness and disease in Jesus' name. No maiming and no wounding is allowed in our body. We speak to the germs. We speak to the viruses. We speak to any kind of disease, and we command you to get off of our body. You are trespassing on the body of Christ. God, we declare he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. God, we give you honor. Lord, those that are struggling with addictions and those that are struggling, God, with bondages in their lives that even nobody else knows about, we speak right now to that spirit of bondage and we break its power right now. Oh, there it is. In Jesus' name. God, let them feel the very weight of that spirit come on off of them. In Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We thank you for your anointing this morning. It's your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Jesus, hear us real clear, please. We are not interested in church. We want you. God, without you being here, it means nothing. Without your presence being tangible, it means nothing. Without us worshiping in spirit and in truth, it means nothing. Without your word being living and powerful, it means nothing. So this morning, we just want you to be present. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercies endure forever. You know, you've put the bat to your head so many times. It's almost like one of those cartoons where you see they start hitting themselves in the head and lumps start coming up. And if you could see yourself in the spirit, you'd see lumps all over your head. That's right, I'm speaking to you. You'd see lumps all over your head. And God is saying, if I forgave you, you can forgive you. Take the bat out of your hand and put the love back in. And as I have loved you and forgiven you, so you need to love yourself and to forgive you. Because my plan hasn't ended. It has just begun. Your yesterday has already been gone in my eternity the moment you asked it to be gone. So move forward. My plan is clear. I'll order your steps. But with the bat in your hand, you're always seeming to be dizzy. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Be free. Free yourself. And you'll run the race without constraint. In Jesus' name, we honor you, God. We thank you that you are in this place. We pray, God, that even those that are watching live stream will feel your presence like we do here. God, you'll speak to them just like you're speaking to us here. We are your people and we love you. Thank you for calling us your own and for calling us your family. We need you. We declare it. We believe it. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's speaking to you right now. Listen to him. Listen to him. Some of you, God's literally embracing you right now. You've been wanting to be loved, and he's embracing you. Where are you, God? I heard you. God heard you. And this is what he says, I've always been there. Do you remember the other night when you were crying around 2 a.m.? I was there. You didn't think I was, but I was there. I'm listening to you. I'm already moving things and making things happen that you talked to me about that night. Even though you can't see me moving, I'm already changing things. God, we love you. I know you're praying for your son. You wonder if he's ever going to come back to Christ. God wants you to know that your prayers are moving heaven. You see, he doesn't show it, but I'm knocking on the door of his heart constantly. I'm speaking to him constantly, and he keeps pushing me away. But, you know, if you stop praying, I'm not going to keep going. So you keep praying. And it's going to happen so quickly that you're going to be spinning your head and saying, God, how did you even do that? But you see, I've already been doing that. I'm drawing him. I'm drawing him. I'm drawing him. I'm talking to him. I'm speaking to him. God, you're so good. So, Lord, today we just want you to know that we thank you that you're not up in heaven marionetting our lives, but you're personally involved with us. We thank you that you care. We thank you that you care. We thank you that you care. Said, amen. On your way back to your chair, just say hello to three or four folks. They need to know you care too. You know, it's not just in the spirit, but people need to know you care about them in the flesh. So why don't you find somebody that you don't know this morning? Don't just go to the folk you do know. Go to somebody you don't know and shake their hand and say, I care about you. I care about you. We'll be right back.
FT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
What's good, y'all? Groups start back up January 13th. You can sign up at histabernacle.com/groups or on a Sunday at the Information Center. We want you to be part of a family that goes and grows together. We want to see you in a group.
We invite you to the His Tabernacle Family Church Women's Conference, which will be hosted on Friday, March the 1st, and Saturday, March the 2nd. We are so excited to be able to share this special retreat with you.
So Friday night, March 1st, will be at 6 p.m., and then again Saturday morning, March 2nd, at 9 a.m.
There's no place to go but up.
Joey, why you gotta go everywhere and fart?
Why you gotta be dressed like that in public?
Why you gotta act stupid?
Why have I met five-year-olds with better
clothes? Whoa! Guys, you're like newly married, newlyweds. I mean, you're already fighting this horribly? Jeez. All right, so guys, family, we have marriage class. It's in step two of Next Steps. It's starting January 29th, 7 p.m. Listen, you might be newly married, and you might have been married a long time. Either way, this class you want to be a part of to help you grow and mature in your marriage. So again, January 29th, step two, marriage, 7 p.m. See you there.
Good morning, family. No. Come on, you guys can do better than that. Good morning, family. All right. I like it. Listen, I know you're looking at two of us up here. We do look different. But we did not, I promise you, did not call each other this morning. We just got, you know, it's right thinking. It's the anointing. It's all I'm blaming it on. So, listen, we want to let you guys know. So, if you are a first-time guest of the house this morning, we want to give a shout-out to you. But if you could just raise your hand up. If you're a first-time guest in the house this morning, raise your hand up. We got a packet, a gift for you we'd like to hand out to you. If you've yet to get a packet on your way in, there's some people waving at me. You've been here longer than I have. All right. Any first-time guests? Well, listen, we're so thankful to have you with us this morning. You're going to enjoy it. And we want to let you know that right after the service, out if you go out these doors on the other side of the wall to your right, we actually have a guest reception. This gives us an opportunity to get to know you. We do have coffee for those of you that like caffeine. We have some water and other refreshments. We'd love to meet you and talk with you more, answer any questions you have. Also, we want to welcome all the live streamers. Good morning, live stream family. Listen, we're so thankful to have you join us on live stream. Listen, one of the temptations that you might have is to just shut off the live stream as you're watching. But I want to encourage you. You don't know what you're going to miss. So make sure you watch the entirety of this service. You're going to definitely like it. Also, as you saw, I don't want to go too far into detail, but we do have next steps, step two. Everybody say step two. We got marriage class happening starting this week. It is an 8-week class. It is at 7 p.m. So if you've already been through step one, which is rock solid faith, say step one. Rock solid faith, that happens every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and every Thursday night at 6 p.m. But step two, marriage, is happening this week, 7 p.m. Make sure you be there. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. Amen? You guys are really excited this morning, right?
Who is involved in a group? Come on, awesome. If you do not have your hand raised, you really want to get involved in a group. We want to live life with you. How boring is it to just come to church, sit down, then leave, then come back the next Sunday, then leave and come back? It gets kind of boring, right? There's a Monday through Saturday, and we want to ensure that we're living life with you. So we have this thing that's called groups. It's just really awesome, about 8 to 30 people gather in the house, and we just get together for food, fun, family. I mean, it is incredibly exciting. And they run all throughout the week. We actually have them starting up again right after church. Some are meeting today, and they'll be meeting Monday through Saturday. So if you are a group leader, can you just stand up? All the group hosts, please stand up. Stop that. You ain't saved. Awesome. If you are not involved in a group, I want you to go to one of these people that is standing up and go and say, hey, can you please give me some more information about your group? I want to get signed up. Even after church today, you can go be part of a group. If you want more information, please see us out at the Info Center. And also at the Info Center, we have the His Line Crossers Ministry, and they're still selling tickets for next Sunday's chili cook-off. So if you want some chili, you want to make sure that you are there. And also at the Info Center, tax season's coming up. Who's excited about that? Nobody. Awesome. Your giving statements will be available for you at the Info Center. So just go out there after church and just say, hey, my name is, and they will give you your giving statement. Amen? Who's ready for the offering time? Let's invite up Most Holy Reverend Father, Dr. Michael Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Pastor Rhonda sends her love. She is in Canada. Some of you do or do not know. In fact, we have pastors in St. John, Canada that we oversee. And this last week they asked us if they could be a campus. So they'll be one of our campuses. They'll be his. The name of the church is Higher Life, but it will be the Higher Life campus of his tabernacle in Brunswick. Amen. St. John, Canada. Amen. I love the fact that God keeps adding. We also have another pastor and his wife that we oversee in Kentucky, in Louisville. Everybody say Louisville. Not Louisville. I got corrected. Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky. And we'll be going down there this summer as well. I just want to share a verse with you real quickly. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, I want to just say that because we can't thank you enough. Turn to someone and say, thank you. Turn to the person next to you and say, thank you. In 2018, it was a banner year for the kingdom of God right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. It really was. 450 people gave their hearts to Jesus for the very first time last year. The Ithaca campus was launched with 15 and now is 100 plus and still growing. We gave 20,000 pieces of candy in the Easter egg drop. His Word TV reaches up to 15,000 people per week, right local, right here. The groups is reaching 550 people every single month. 550 folks from this house are going to a group. We've reached, through the Uproar Ministry, 1,000 teenagers came last year to Uproar down at the arena. Last night, they did their very first one-nighter, it's called. Up in Rochester, that was Friday night, in Rochester. And they're doing another one in Peckville, Pennsylvania, here next month, I believe. The Parks Program, Matthew 25, parades and local festivals. Last year, we fed right here, right over here in this section, this house, you, turn to someone and say, that's you, fed 6,789 people. When we go in the summer, we go into the, because they don't have school, we go into the community. And last year, we fed 1,000 people in the local parks in the summertime. I want you to know that this cannot happen without you. You are the key to God's success. You're saying, what? God uses people. And this is why, you know, the Bible says, why do we tithe? Some people say, well, so the pastor can have more. Listen. My salary is regulated by a board. I don't even get a chance to say what my salary is. I can't even be in the room when they discuss it, according to IRS laws. You need to know that this is not about people. This is about Jesus and about ministering to God's kingdom. The Bible says the purpose for a tithe is to bring meat into my house. Why? Because the tithe was to take care of the house of God and all that he would do. And I want you to know at this house, we have an annual business meeting. You're all welcome to the annual business meeting. It will be posted when it will be run. But we give an account for every dollar that we spend because we believe in accountability. Can I hear an amen? And you need to know that the finances that you sow and you give and you tithe are being used to bring glory to God. We are doing an enormous amount of ministry in this community. And it's fun going out because they get to see us and they say, Pastor, thank you for all the church is doing. And you know something? I can't take any credit for that. Why? Because we're doing it. We're the family of God. Amen. And so I just want you to know, thank you so much for giving. Your giving is doing a ton. This year we want to be able to do some building things. We actually want to close in. You know when you come in the front door and how cold it is, how windy it is in the foyer? We want to enclose that this year. How many be interested in helping out enclose that this year? We're going to enclose that so that the foyer can actually be warm. Amen. So your coffee doesn't cool quicker than you. Amen. So we're going to be doing that project. We have a few other things that we want to do to be a blessing. Tomorrow, you need to keep us in prayer. We're heading down. Pastor Dan and I are heading down to Mansfield, Pennsylvania, and we're going to start looking for a new building. Pastor Dan will be our new campus pastor down in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. It'll be very exciting. He and Sister Jody. She's crazy. I love her. So we just want to thank you so much. Can you turn to someone and say, thank you for sowing? Can you tell to somebody else, thank you for being a tither? We want you to know we love you and thank you. Last week, we didn't have church. And because of that, many times people just hold their tithe over to this week. We pray you have done that. We are always tight because we are always giving. And so we want you to be faithful in your tithe and your offering to the Lord. And so if you hadn't had a chance to give last week's tithe as well, make sure you follow up on that. Remember, it's not yours, it's God's. I did a skit one time with Bruce Girardi, and we actually set up a teller, a bank teller. And Bruce was the guy was coming to the bank teller, and the bank called him in because he missed his mortgage payment. And he said, "What do you mean I missed my mortgage payment? I was in Florida that week, and I wasn't living in the house, so why should I pay you the mortgage payment?" How many of you know you're going to lose your house that way? Amen. Just because you're not in the house doesn't mean it's not still God's tithe. Amen. So we encourage you to tithe. Let's stand to our feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. How many believe truly the word of God is truly the word of God? Then shout it out loud with me. If I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. Praising Him, oh Lord.
know about you, but I'm excited. I get to run on that mountain today. Glory to God. It's going to be an awesome day. We've been talking about the year of next level and refusing to remain at base camp. How many of you have gotten saved before? You've given your heart to Jesus? All right, let's have an altar call right now. I said, how many of you have given your heart to Jesus? How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? But it's one thing to start the race, you got to finish the race. Can I hear an amen? It's not just enough to start on the climb to the summit. You want to finish the climb. And if you always remain at the same base camp, there's no way you're pressing on. Turn to someone and say, press on. This is what we're going to learn today. We're going to learn about what the equipment is for. Second, we're going to learn what are the dangers of mountain climbing. And third, tell somebody, don't slip off the mountain. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 is our verse for the year. And it says this, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, which means maturity, but I press on. Shout it out loud. I press on. I can't hear you. Come on now, I can't hear you. I know one of you yelled at your child louder than that. Come on now, shout it out loud. That's right. Tell the person next to you, I'm not staying still. I'm pressing on. I press on to possess the maturity for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, pressing on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus Christ is calling us. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about three or four verses up, and that's Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, tells us what the prize is. The summit is Jesus. You see, you can acquire good religion and still go to hell. You can acquire good religion and still go to hell. You can be a nice person and still go to hell. You can be sincere and still go to hell. There's only one name under heaven which all you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, we are not saved by our works, or lest somebody could boast. We are saved only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when, man, I got a hold of a new MP3, you get on Apple TV, and iTunes, that's what it's called. And I found a whole series of songs just singing about the blood of Jesus. I love singing about the blood of Jesus. Why? Because without the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without Jesus, I have no hope. Can I hear an amen? Some of you saw me post it this week. I'm a God-made man. I'm not a man-made man. I'm not a self-made man. I am a God-made man. I'd be nowhere without Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I could gain the whole world and lose my own soul. But I've decided to follow Jesus. Can I hear an amen? The greatest thing you can acquire is Christ. The greatest person you can gain is Jesus. I count all things dung. I count all things manure just to gain Christ. You see, that's where we make Jesus the head of our life instead of second or third on the list in our heart. You see, even our children, we've got to make a decision. Even our family is not first. Our family is second. Can I hear an amen? Well, I didn't get many on that one. Today, you've been watching me over this last few weeks. You've been watching me wear this different equipment. And man, the first week, you got to know I almost died on that mountain. Jesus, help me all. You notice I'm not wearing that same outfit. That jacket literally had sweat dripping out the sleeve. It was so soaking wet. I needed Jesus. Hallelujah. But we have gear, and you all know that no matter what you do, you have gear. You know, if you golf, you have golfing gear. That's right. You get a nice set of clubs. Come on, brother. Amen. You get a nice set of clubs. You got to get the shoes, though. And you know your socks have got to match the shoes. That got to match the pants. That got to match the shirt. Come on now, can I hear an amen? And then you got to have a ball puller here in your pocket that really should match your shoes. And, you know, we can go through the list. You know, if you're a bicyclist, I'm a bicyclist, and I have nice tools. I like to winter Come on now, I like to winter ride. I have a bicycle called a fat tire bike. The tires are 4 inches wide, only 8 pounds in the tires, sometimes four, depending on how snowy it is. I have the right gear. Why? Because when I'm riding in 15 or below degrees in the winter, I don't want to be cold. I bought a pair of boots, cost me $300 because they were the best winter riding bicycle boots you can purchase. Why? I hate cold toes. If you're a hiker and or a mountain climber, there's certain gear that you carry. As a believer, we have certain gear that we carry. It's called, come on now, the armor of God. God has given us what we need to succeed. He's not called us to run this race and to fail. He's called us to run this race and to win. I said God has called us to run this race to win. Turn to someone and say, you're a winner. Come on, tell somebody else, you're a winner. You know, as every climber has, and I remember going to buy this rope. It was kind of funny. There's a place in Ithaca that sells all this gear. And there's nothing down here, but up in Ithaca, they have one. So I walked into the store, and I said, I need some rope. Ropa. And they said to me, well, what kind of rope do you want? I said, cheap rope. And they said, well, we do have this over here. It's by the foot. How many feet do you need? I said, I don't know. I need enough for here and in Ithaca. They're going to be doing this in Ithaca, too. And he said, oh, well, you know, this is all I have left. I said, well, that's not enough. He said, well, I have other rope up here. And I said, well, how much is that rope? And he said, $180. I said, what did you say? He said, that rope is $180. I said, how much the green rope? He said, that's $240. I said, boy, that orange looks good. I said, I'm going to cut the rope. And he goes, what? I said, I'm going to cut the rope. I said, because I need some for Ithaca and I need some for horse heads. He said, you're going to what? He said, you're going to make every mountain climber cry. You're going to cut that rope. Well, why? Because to them, this rope is life. To every mountain climber, this rope is life. They're on a sheer ledge. They're climbing a mountain that is filled with snow, that has crevasses all over the place, where they could fall and descend, sometimes to their death. All of them carry a rope, not just a rope, but a special kind of rope that has enough poundage to carry and to hold and to haul, that whatever you need is available. And you see, this rope that I'm carrying right now represents Jesus Christ. Without the rope of Christ around your life, I want you to know that you're not going to make it far. You need Jesus to keep you from falling into the crevasses. Can I hear an amen? You need Jesus to help you up the mountain. Can I hear an amen? Some of you need Jesus to help you get out of bed. Turn to someone and say, I hope that's not you. Jesus is our lifeline. That's why we got to keep him number one in our life. Without Christ being number one in our life, you're going to always find that you're going to get, come on now, you ready? Without Jesus, number one in your life, you're always going to be in crisis mode. You're going to live a life of crisis. But you see, when you have yourself tethered to the top, come on now, the greatest one to win is Jesus Christ. The summit is Jesus. When you are tethered to Christ, there's nothing I can't do as a believer. Can I hear an amen? All things are possible if I only believe. Can I hear an amen? I can't hear you. Amen. You see, that's why you've got to be tethered to Jesus. The next is the ice axe. I like this thing just because I like making damage. This thing is really cool. But you see, you can see how nice and cool that is, but that's not what it's made for. It's not made to look cool. It's actually made so that when you're climbing up mountain, that when you need to reach down and get a better foothold, when you need to reach down and all of a sudden, man, you're not sure if that ice is going to slip and slide. You're digging, you're driving that ice pick in to help you go forward. And some of you need to go forward. Can I hear an amen? And then it's not only for going forward, but what happens if you start to fall back? That's what this ice pick is for. Not only moving forward, but also in a security factor. So that if you start sliding away, you know that you can drive that thing in and it's going to hold you and keep you. All these tools that we carry are carried for a purpose. No, I didn't go do this because I didn't want to destroy the rug, just pieces of it. But they have these spikes that they put on the bottom of their shoes. I'm talking like spikes. They tie them to their shoes, and when they're climbing up the ice formations, they're able to dig in. And I need you to recognize that sometimes you got to dig in, that the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes trials and tribulations seem to last longer than you want them to last. They're more difficult than you want them to be. And sometimes you just got to, boom, dig in and hold tight and watch God bring you through. Can I hear an amen? Some of you give up too easy. You started up the mountain and God is using your life and God is blessing you, and then a trial and tribulation came in your way. And instead of, I felt it like a divot tool. That's exactly my thought. Instead of allowing yourself to fall all the way down to the bottom of the mountain again and back to base camp one, you need to learn how to dig in. I was just talking to the prayer team this morning at 7:15. We have all these folks that come at 7:15 to pray for you. They're praying that God will move in your life. They're praying that God will encourage your life. They're praying that you will have an experience with Jesus while you're in this room, and that his presence will be literally manifested to where you cannot deny who he is. This morning it was very quiet, and I looked at them and I said, listen, the enemy wants you to think that this is same old, since we've been doing it for so many weeks. Maybe you're getting a little bored, but I want you to know that God has not moved. God has not shifted location. The same excitement you have the first week you came to pray is the same excitement you could have the second, third, 50th, 20th, 200th. Why? Because God has never moved. What happens is our flesh moves. The flesh is the enemy of God, and what we'd like to do is instead of getting solid, we start sliding all the way back to the bottom again. Listen, I love what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, that we don't have to keep going back to kindergarten. You can move forward in your call of God, move forward in your purpose of God, and not constantly go forward and slide back, go forward and slide back. That's never the purpose. The helmet is one of the most important things. It is ugly and it is hot. Huh? Yeah, it is ugly. But the issue is that if I fall, then my head isn't going to be split open. Or if something falls on me. You see, this is where you and I have to have an understanding about the helmet of salvation. That God wants you to stay tight with him, in relationship with him, not religion with him. So that you can have a relationship that no matter if something comes and tries to hurt you from above, it can't affect you because you're protected with the helmet of salvation. Or if you're a person that is struggling and maybe you fall. Come on now, how many of you have ever fell before? How many of you have ever done something stupid before? How many of you have ever done something stupid the same thing twice before? Three times before. And come on, we've all done things stupid. And when you fall, the great part is you don't want your head to smash. Keep on the helmet of salvation. Forgetting those things which are behind, press on towards the mark of the high call. And then you have what's called the harness. And this is the thing that keeps tight to you, the belt of truth. And that is the word of God. Man, the devil tries desperately to keep you out of the Bible. Why? Because he knows that the word produces faith. Faith moves God. The Bible shows us clearly that when you're out of the word, you become weak. When you become weak, then you become preyed upon, not preyed upon, but preyed upon by the enemy. And all of a sudden, you're not in good shape. This harness is what keeps you tethered to the rope. Without you being tethered to the rope, baby, you're free falling. You've got to make a decision that you're going to wear this equipment properly and know how to use it. And what I have found so very clearly, truthfully, as a pastor of over 30 years, is many people start off with passion to Jesus, but never choose to learn the equipment they're supposed to carry. They crash, they get wounded, they walk away, and they blame God. Listen, I want you to know something, that the equipment is available for you to use, but if you never learn how to pick it up and use it, can I hear an amen?
The Bible says this is the sword of the Spirit. But if you never learn the sword, how to use it aggressively and in offense, and also allow it to, in self-affliction at times, to cut yourself free from bondages. I used to scuba dive, and we always carried a knife. They called it a shark knife. You see, there are sharks in Seneca Lake. That's why I don't swim there. I've been under the water. I've seen them. Really, I'm just kidding. But we always carry a knife when we're scuba diving. Why? Because you never know when you're going to get caught up. The sword of the Spirit is not just for aggression to take against the enemy, but also to set yourself free. When you're down 60 to 80 feet scuba diving, and all of a sudden you get wrapped up in some fisherman's 100-pound test line because he's been fishing for a big old brown, there's only one way out. You're not getting out by breaking that line. You got to cut the line. See, you got to know the tools that you have, and if you don't know the tools, then you cannot be successful on this journey to where God is calling you to be. You see, we've got to be prepared. Turn to somebody and say, be prepared. This is why at His Tabernacle, we are a teaching church. This is why we have Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., at Thursday night here in Horseheads at 6 p.m., and up in Ithaca at 6 p.m. It's also being run down in Kentucky, and will also start being run up in St. John. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we make them available online for free that you can get to on the archives whenever you want them? Why? Because we want to make sure you not only get the tools in your hand, but you know how to use them. It's not just starting the race. It's finishing the race. It's not just going to the first base camp. It's getting all the way to the summit is the heart and the plan of God. See, the moment that you start being unprepared, you're in a bad position. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So many believers are unprepared. They don't take the time to prepare themselves. They walk to the front. They get saved. Come on now. They start off at the base camp. They get born again. It's a genuine God experience. 450 people gave their hearts to Jesus last year, right here at the altars. That was a genuine experience for them. How do I know that? Because nobody who's not genuine is going to walk out of their chair with people watching them come to the front. They want God, and God wants them. But you get to base camp one, that's not where you stop. You've got to be prepared, and that's why we prepare you to do the work of the ministry. That's my job. My job is simple. It's threefold, found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. My job, for Jesus gave gifts to men, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, to do what? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to unity, and to bring them to maturity. My job is to make sure you get past, well, first of all, get saved, but then get past base camp one and start heading to the summit. God's heart is that you will not just run the race, but that you will finish the race. But you can't finish the race if you're unprepared. Amen. The next one is complacency. We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. Many people start, they get saved, but they stay here. They don't ever go past this area. They don't ever join Rock Solid Faith. They don't ever get into a group. They don't ever get around other believers. They keep their old friends. We've got to make a decision that I'm not staying here. I'm moving forward. I've got to make a choice. Now, the issue with that is I've got to move. Turn to someone and say, don't be lazy. Come on, tell somebody else, don't be lazy. Let's be honest. As believers, we're quite lazy in America. You know, in other countries, they won't even take communion unless they fasted a day. It's normal for other countries to where they don't have what we have, so all they have is Jesus. Their only hope is in God. So what happens is they're designed for the Lord. You know, I love speaking to Nigerians when they come to America, because in Nigeria, you're in church at least five nights a week. And we're not talking like, is he almost done? An hour. An hour's passed. Is he almost done?
No. They're in church 5-6 hours. Man, my friends in India, his name is Andrew Prakasam. Man, some of those people literally walk 1 week to come to church. He said, if you come here, you've got to be able to preach for at least 6 to 8 hours. I said, what? I said, I'll try that home first. Just kidding. But they'll literally walk an entire week to get to a church service. They're not sitting in cushioned chairs. They're not sitting in air-conditioned rooms. They're squatted down in Indian style, and they're sitting there sweltering as you're preaching. But if you preach 1 hour and they've walked 1 week, they're unhappy. So you've got to preach the whole day to get the word in them. Why? Because they made a decision that they were willing to pay the cost to get more from Jesus, to get more in their relationship with the Lord. Now, thank God we don't have to walk 1 week to come to church. Can I hear an amen? Well, when I was a child, I had to walk 1 mile uphill both ways with bare feet in the cold. I remember that one. How many of your parents said that one to you? No, my mother actually did, though, but not both ways. We've got to make a decision that we're not going to be complacent. You know, this is one of the problems of His Tabernacle Family Church. Can you tell somebody there is a problem here? We're going to push you. What that means is this. Those who don't want to be pushed, they don't get happy here. They're not happy here. All the pastor does is push, 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 push. More, 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 more. Move forward, grow, 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 grow. You got it, kid. Grow. Where a lot of churches, it's, well, you know, you gave your heart to the Lord. Is that your pew? Oh, let's put your name on it. I want you to know, don't get comfortable. Richie and Sue sat over here for years. Thank you for taking that seat. It's a matter of every one of us. This is why sometimes when you walk into church, and I haven't done it this year yet, but, you know, be ready, where all of a sudden you're going to walk into the church service and the pulpit will be against this wall or against that wall or in the middle and all the chairs will be wrapped around. Why do I do that? Because it's so easy to become complacent in our walk with Jesus. It's easy to get so comfortable, we stop going to our next level. And God's design has never been for you to survive. God's design has been for you to move forward to the next level and to accomplish all that Jesus has put you on this planet to do. You are not here on accident. You're not here to suck air. You're here to fulfill God's destiny and God's purpose for you. If He needed you 1,000 years ago, you'd have been born 1,000 years ago. If He needed you 20 years from now, you would have been born 20 years from now. But you were born at the exact time that you were, because God needs you here at this moment on this planet to do His will. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The next one is slipping. And you know, this is where I find a lot of people. You know, they get to this place where they love the Lord. Every new level is another devil. Every time you start going higher, you got to recognize, you got to prepare yourself to not slip. Because we are not, listen now, the weapons of a warfare are not carnal. This is not a natural thing. This is a supernatural thing. If this was natural, we'd call it religion. Religion is natural. Do these things and you're fine. Jump through this hoop, everything is good. But a relationship is one where you're constantly having to mature. Can you imagine if my relationship with my wife was the same that it was when we first got married? That's right. We probably wouldn't be married because we didn't like each other. Why'd you get married? I don't know. Oh, she's watching. So the issue is not that you're not climbing. The issue is you've also got to prepare yourself to not slip. The devil loves to slip you up. Listen, you come to church and somebody sits in your chair, or somebody doesn't shake your hand, or somebody from your past is there, and your statement is, I'm not going back that place. I hate that person. Immediately, you know you're not going to make it. Why is that? Well, because watch now. I just need you to understand that God created the church, not man. God created the church, not man. And I know some of you can't be here in person because you live so far away. But if you're local, this is not a substitute. The truth is that God created the church because we need each other. If you ever watch climbing, they're also tethered to each other. Somebody slips, but somebody grabs them. This is where you and I, we work together. The way we protect ourselves from slipping is we make sure that we don't get offended. We don't get our feelings hurt. Now listen, the Bible says, Paul made a declaration, I die daily. I was sharing a few weeks ago, I don't even know when I shared it. Let me tell you about it. Maybe it was last week. If it was, God bless you. I went to a Greek Orthodox funeral. Never been to one before in my life. When I was there, the priest was doing his thing, and it was an hour plus service, and it was a celebratory because it was near Easter. You know, he was doing his smoke thing and saying what he was saying. It was all beautiful. And then it was time to say goodbye to the person in the casket. What I did not know is that they expected everybody to kiss the dead person. I need you to understand something. I ain't kissing the dead person I don't know. But I want you to know this too. They didn't know. They're dead. You can poke a dead person, kick a dead person. You can even flip the casket over on a dead person. Guess what they know? They're dead. You can yell at a dead person and tell them that you hate them. Guess what? They don't care. They're dead. The issue is that the one number one way that people slip is because what they do is they're easily offended in church. They take offense in church, and when they do that, what they don't recognize, they think they're right, but just because you're right doesn't mean you're not wrong. Oh, amen. And all of a sudden, they're starting to slip back down the mountain. And they think, well, you know, I just don't got to go to church. Or, you know, I just don't got to do this. And I'm done with that place. And I'm all the... And all they're doing, they don't even realize it. They're slipping back down the mountain. They're going to end up at base camp one. But let me tell you something. Food dries up at base camp one after a while. You got to grow. Turn to someone and say, you got to grow. Get out of my way. There is an end goal here, and that is that you're going to reach the summit. And the goal is that Christ will take you all the way. And he will. But you've got to make decisions in your heart. I choose to reach the summit. Whether somebody goes with me or they don't. I've had husbands and wives, this has happened, where the husband or the wife, either one, will get cranked up and they start to slip back down the mountain. They get all upset. Somebody offended them in church. Somebody did something and hurt their feelings. Pastor, you asked for more money. Well, I knew this was all about money. I'm out of here. And all of a sudden, your spouse is connected and growing, but now you're starting to slide away. I always watch the spouse go back with them. I want you to know this. Hear me now from the pulpit. You are not required to follow someone back into sin. Amen. You are required to follow Jesus. I follow Christ before I follow man and or woman. Can I hear an amen? If my wife decides to walk away from Jesus tomorrow, I want you to know that I'm still going to be here. Why? Because I don't follow my wife. My goal is to reach the summit, and my summit is not my wife. The summit is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen? I said amen. Amen. So we've got to make decisions. There are three great enemies in your life. The devil is your enemy. He desires to get you so busy, you no longer are going to continue in the climb. He desires to distract you to a place to where you no longer are focused on Jesus. He no longer is your summit. This is not your goal to make it. Now, I'm not talking heaven. Heaven is the cherry on top. Jesus is the answer. And the enemy knows that if you get a hold of Jesus and start growing in your relationship with God, that you are going to leave him behind. You got to know the enemy of your soul is working desperately to disconnect you to Jesus Christ. He's working desperately. You're going to know he's going to put people in your life. He's going to put old friends in your life. He's going to put old situations in your life. He's going to put a fence in your life. He's going to do all these things so that you will disconnect and start sliding down the mountain and stop moving forward to your next level. You got to know that, listen now, the devil don't care if you stay down at base camp. If you stay at base camp, the devil don't care. Why? Because you ain't taking anybody with you. And you might not make it yourself. You got to make a choice. I'm going forward. The next enemy of your climb is simply this. It's you. You and I are our greatest enemies. You know, the devil's already defeated. The Bible says the devil has been brought under the authority through Jesus Christ, and we have all authority over the power of the devil. There's not one demon in hell. There's not even Satan himself who has power over you and I as the sons and daughters of God. Can I hear an amen? So the greatest enemy is not the devil. The greatest enemy is me. When I allow my flesh to rise, when I allow myself to convince myself, for there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. When I convince myself that what I'm doing is fine and it doesn't really matter. I can do this sin, I can do that sin. I can live this way and I can live this way. And God's got to forgive me no matter what. I want you to know that you can bring yourself into self-deception. The Bible says that in the last days, even the elect may be deceived. We've got to know that this is a true warfare. This is a serious mountain climb. That's why you got to be prepared for the summit. You can't just meander and get lazy. You've got to be willing to move forward and to accomplish the task of God. This is God's call for your life, not just to make it to heaven, but to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And then, man, you got to know that there are people in your life you got to get out of your life. There are people in your life, you can love them. Listen, I'm not talking divorce your husband or wife tomorrow. I heard you. You thought I was giving you an escape route. Nope. But what I'm telling you is some of you have friends in your life and even family in your life that are not helping you on the climb, but every time you start to go 4 or 10 steps forward, they're grabbing your feet and trying to drag you back. I want you to know that those people you should not have in your life. Oh, no, the pastor's trying to control us and tell us that we can only have friends in the church. No, there are sinner friends that will push you forward. They're happy for you. But if you're hanging around people that are not pushing you forward, you've got to ask yourself a question. If I hang out with the turkeys, will I ever fly with the eagles? If I have to drag somebody else up. Now, listen, I love Sophia, and I love Julian. But I don't care how strong you are. You can carry them just so long, and then you get tired. Your arm starts to cramp. You get tired, and you want to step back. And I want you to know that you can carry somebody for a long time, but if they simply don't want God themselves, you can't make them have God. Every one of us makes the decision to make it to the summit ourselves. Nobody can make it for you. We all make choices. Sadly enough, some of you will not be here next year. Some of you will have walked away from God. You'll walk back into your old world, your old ways, and live your old style. And you'll say, well, I tried that God thing and it didn't work. And I want you to know that God is not a bicycle. He's a relationship. And to get to the summit is not accidental. It is purposed. That's why he gave us the Bible, to make sure that we would have the tools to succeed and to fulfill all that God's purpose is for our life. And today I want you to hear me, because as your pastor, my job, my passion, our drive here at His Tabernacle is not just that you get to heaven, but that you do God's will, and that at the end of time, you'll hear God say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." I want you to fulfill all that Jesus has planned for you, and He has great things, or you still wouldn't be breathing. So our question is this: God is able to keep you. Did you see? God is able to keep you. The question is, are you willing to be kept? If you're not willing to be kept, He can't keep. If you're not willing to stay tethered, you're free falling. And if you're unwilling to move forward, you're going to get so bored with base camp, with the same food all the time, that you're going to start grumbling. Then you got to find a reason to leave the church. You know, there's always a good reason to leave a church. I'm a good reason to leave the church. The chairs, they're not wide enough. The air is not cold enough. The smoke is too dense. The flags are too high. Pastor preached too long. Do you want to reach the summit? Or are you just on a religious gain? God loves you. His passion is you. That's why He sent Jesus. Not to start a religion. Where's the keyboardist? This is a good time to start playing. Do you guys mind if I come down? Oh. No, I'm coming down. Do you know what's amazing? It's a lot of work to get back down that mountain. If you use that much energy to get up the mountain, you'd get there. Can I just quote this verse to you? Jude 1, verse 24. Now to him who is able, shout, he's able. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I want you to know that if you tether yourself to Jesus and use your right equipment, you can go all the way. All the way is that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know Christ. I need to come off the throne so he can sit on the throne. I need to climb instead of always using my energy to descend. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Father, I just thank you for this congregation, your people. God, they're not my people, they're your people. Lord, I thank you that you have given us as your people, your family, your house, all that we need to succeed in your word and in your presence and in your power. Lord, I thank you that this is not religion. I thank you, God, that this is passion. I thank you, God, that this is relationship and a knowing of the one who said, "Let there be," and there was. Lord, today I thank you that you've got great design and purpose. Lord, thank you for the equipment. Thank you for warning us of the dangers. And thank you for giving us the ability to move forward. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to start your journey. I'm asking you to know God.
like no God, K-N-O-W God. He has great things for your life, and today you're not here on accident. The seed of God is being planted in your spirit, being planted in your spirit right where you're sitting, a live stream. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want Him in your life. You want to start the journey. You want your sins forgiven and a relationship with God. If that's you this morning, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Well, I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you, young lady. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Five. Thank you, ma'am. Four. Three. Two. And last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. I don't know about you. If you can't make it to a Tuesday rock solid faith, a Wednesday rock solid faith, or a Thursday rock solid faith, or you've said, I've already taken it three times. Listen, I've been teaching it for over 25. By the way, I wrote the book. I still teach it and learn it. You can never learn too much. You got to be in a class. You got to grow. You can get it right online, histabernacle.com. Go to watch, go to archives. And start eating and feeding. If you have an iPhone, you can get our app, His, H-I-S, space, T-A-B, space, N-Y. You can listen to it or watch it right on that app. But no matter what, you've got to make a decision to grow. I challenge you to grow. Everybody say this, I'm going to the next level. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm going to the next level. I've got your toe, and I'm dragging you with me. Amen. We're not going alone, baby. We're not going alone. Back up the prayer team near the front of the altar, please. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to be asking you to be brave. If everyone turn to the person next to them and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. If you ask that person that right now, those who raise their hand, if you'll come meet me right up front, I want to pray with you. I want to lead you to Jesus and get you started on this awesome journey. If you are discouraged in your journey, you just need someone to strengthen you, I want you to come on up. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. They want to pray with you, encourage you, strengthen you, and God wants to minister to you. Come on now. Lead someone to Jesus this week. I'll see you next Sunday morning. Don't miss it. It's going to be good.